Let us say a prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you now will speak to us so that we will truly be able to listen. May your spirit work in our hearts and our lives to accept your word today and to respond to your message. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, let me just catch my breath. So one of the most famous phone calls ever made was when President Nixon called the astronauts on the moon. That was in 1969. And Nixon, as you know, was also the subject of one of the most infamous calls ever made. On the night of June 17, in 1972, police took a call from a security guard named Frank Wills, and that set into motion the discovery of a great political scandal that ultimately led to the resignation of President Nixon. Now, most of the calls we take are not from famous people, at least not the calls I take, and they're often about mundane matters. But still, many calls we take transmit useful information that keeps our schedules ticking, or they update us on family news, or just puts us in touch with friends. And the truth is, we're more likely to answer a text message these days than take a call. But still, often a phone call and a phone conversation is vital when a short text is not enough. And there are also times when we probably shouldn't take a call, right? But we do anyway, like taking a call in the movie theater. Anybody ever done that? How about taking a call in church? Ever done that? No? I know some have. I'm not going to point fingers, though. Just kidding. So here we are in our scripture reading, looking at an event that happened more than 3,000 years ago. And it's the story of Samuel in the worship center at Shiloh. And he's getting a call from God. Samuel, by the way, grew up in the church. He was helping Eli with chores around the temple, lighting lamps, sweeping the floor, putting the hymnals back in the pew racks. And Samuel never really thought about listening for God, because no one was listening for God. It says in verse 1, the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. So the Lord did not speak directly to people very often during that period and time in Israel's history. And it says in verse 3 that Samuel was sleeping in the sanctuary. So you're not the first or the last person who's ever slept in church. Okay, just know that. I don't know if it makes you feel better, but in any case, Samuel is sleeping and he hears a voice. And when he hears his name called, he takes the call. But he assumed that the caller was the elderly priest Eli. And when he goes to Eli, the old man says, no, I didn't call you. And this happens 3 times. And then Eli finally realizes that it must be the Lord who's summoning the young boy. And so he instructs Samuel to take the call, but from the right party. And then it says, Eli finally realized that it was the Lord who was speaking to Samuel. And so he said, go back and lie down, and if someone speaks to you again, answer, I'm listening, Lord. What do you want me to do? And once again, Samuel went back and lay down, and the Lord then stood beside Samuel and called out as he had done before, Samuel, Samuel, I'm listening. Samuel answered, what do you want me to do? So he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And so began Samuel's role as a prophet of the Most High God. Have you ever heard God calling you to do something? It's not that we're unwilling to take the call, right? It's just that we're often not sure that it's our spiritual mobile that's ringing. And even if it is, we are uncertain that the voice we're hearing is really the voice of God. I mean, how do you know that it's not just an idea that randomly popped into your head out of nowhere? So I like the story of E. Stanley Jones. He was an American Christian who was a missionary in India for many, many years. And he'd given his life to Christ at the age of 17. And when he was 23 years old, a college president asked him to teach at the college. And the president told him, "It's the will of the student body, the will of the townspeople, the will of the faculty, and we believe it's the will of God for you to teach in this college." At the same time, however, a friend wrote to him saying, "I believe it's the will of God for you to go into evangelistic work here in America." During the same period, Jones also received a letter from his denomination's mission board saying, "It's our will to send you to India." And if all of that were not enough, he suspected that God's will for him was to go as a missionary to Africa. And he said it was like a traffic jam of wills. In the end, after much prayer, he eventually became convinced that he should go to India, and which he did, and where he ministered faithfully until his death. But at the time of the different competing calls, he had no foolproof way to be sure which was God's will. So does God still speak today? I mean, to you and me, does he speak to us personally? Does he still call on us to do something? And let's say he does, are you willing to say, "Speak, God, for your servant is listening"? Are you prepared to honestly say, "Here I am, God, what do you want me to do"? To be so in tune that you will hear his call and do it. Well, I believe God does still speak to us. And he speaks to us in many different ways. He speaks to us most directly through his word, through scripture. And the more you're into God's word, the more in tune you will be with his voice. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. That inner voice you sometimes want to ignore that nudges you. If you're a believer, then the Spirit of God lives in you and speaks to you. God can speak to you through a prophetic word of someone else. That time when you were on the wrong path and someone said to you, "Hey, what's going on with you? You really need to wake up, man, and get back to God's ways." God speaks to you by means of godly counsel. A wise believer can help you answer the question, "God, what do you want me to do?" There are times when you have an idea and it's confirmed by two or three other believers. Yes, you have the gifts for that ministry. I see that in you. Yes, I can see you doing that for God and for his church. And God speaks to you by giving you peace about something. You just have that inner peace that comes from God, that this is where you need to be, and this is what you need to do. And God speaks to you through circumstances. He speaks to you through timing. Shuts all the wrong doors, and he opens the right way, the right one. And I've told you the story before of the many doors God closed for me, and then somehow he opened this door. So God is still calling you today. And if so, if you are longing to hear from him, if you're sincerely asking, well, God, what do you want me to do? What's your purpose for my life? What's your direction for my life and my family and my career? What's your answer to this question that I'm really, really struggling with? Well, I want you to know, if that's you, that God still speaks to us today. But sometimes, you know, there is so much static on the line that you can't hear his voice clearly. So let's talk just about two things that will enable us to hear God call us more clearly. Two things that will help you hear his voice more clearly. To truthfully say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. First of all, you need to have an obedient heart. It says in verse 1, in those days the Lord hardly ever spoke directly to people, and he did not appear to them in dreams very often. God didn't speak much, and people rarely heard or saw God's revelation. Why? Because sin had corrupted the house of Eli, the chief priest. His sons were desecrating God's name and God's place, and he did nothing to stop them. And he just stood by and allowed them to corrupt Israel with their sin, the spiritual leaders. And the result was that God did not give his visions to Eli. Sin was the obstacle. By contrast, young Samuel was dedicated to God's service. He was influenced by his godly mother, Hannah. And Samuel was devoted to doing God's will. And because he had a heart for the Lord, Samuel was able to receive the visions that Eli could not. And God was able to talk to Samuel because of his obedient heart. And so if you're really seeking to know God's vision for your life, if you're looking to hear from him on what it is that you should do, then the lesson here is God will not give you his visions where sin abounds. God's call will not get through if there is too much static in the form of sin and disobedience. Because it takes an obedient heart to hear God clearly. And it also takes an open heart. So you need an obedient heart, but you also need an open heart. Once Samuel knew that that was not Eli who was calling him, but God who was calling him, he was open to the message. And so he says, speak, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm ready to listen. He says, here I am. What do you want me to do? And so God gives his visions and guidance to those who are willing to receive them. But here's what often happens with us. It's like the salesman who calls on a farmer one day and begins to make a presentation about a new book on farming. And the salesman says to the farmer, you know this book has a wealth of new techniques that would make you a better farmer. And the farmer says, I don't need a new book. I already know more about farming than I'm willing to do right now. And maybe you want to know God's will for your life, but the question is often, are you willing to follow through on what you already know? Is your heart truly open to follow God's leadership? It's as if God has given us a map. And he's directed us to follow the designed path. But we say, God, where is the rest of the map? And God says, I'll give you that part when you get to the end of this part. You don't need the rest of the map right now to take the first step. And so what is it that God wants you to do? What is He calling you to do? Whatever it is, it starts with the first step. You have to somehow make a start at it. You see, there is what's called the current reality in your life. What your life is like right now, here at the beginning of 2024. What it looks like at this moment. What is so for you when you're open and honest about it? Your reality is maybe that you have a lot of financial debt that is imprisoning you. Maybe your current reality is that you are miserable in your job. Maybe your current reality is that your relationship with your children sucks. Maybe it is that you are coming to church out of obligation and there's no joy or gratitude in your relationship with God. Whatever it is, we all have a current reality in our lives. And then there is what's called God's emerging future. What God is calling you toward. What He wants for your life. Where He would like to see you happier, more fulfilled, more obedient, more blessed, more alive, more part of His kingdom plans, more in touch with His love for you. God is calling you towards His emerging future. Now, the problem is that it's hard to seek and understand and determine God's emerging future for your life without first understanding your current reality. So you need to first honestly reflect on your life and see your situation for what it really is right now. You need to define it. You need to describe your current reality. When I look at my relationship with my child, what I see is that it's really bad. My eating habits is not working because I'm gaining too much weight. I'm miserable at my job. And this is why. An honest reflection. An understanding and description of your current reality will open the door for your emerging future. And hopefully you will start hearing God's call more clearly as it relates to your future and where God is calling you. So let me ask you, what is waiting for a start in your life? Something where you wonder if it could be God who's giving you a nudge. Is it possible that He's calling you to get involved or to start something or to deepen your walk of faith or to serve in some kind of ministry? Whatever it is, I believe God is calling you towards something that's better. He's calling you towards His emerging future for your life. Now, to be honest, there are times when I don't take a call. My phone might be ringing, but I don't hit the accept button. Maybe I don't know the person who's calling, or maybe it says potential spam, or I'm in the middle of something. Maybe it is someone I know, but I just don't want to talk to them at that point, that time. And sometimes I don't take the call. I'm sure we all do that, right? But the message today from the story of Samuel is that there are times when God might be calling you. And when he calls you, my prayer is that you will have an obedient and an open heart to accept the call and not decline it. That you will tap, accept, and see what God has to say. I'm listening, God. What do you want me to do? Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Amen. Lord God, thank you that you still speak to us in so many different ways. You just spoke to us through this message. May wherever it touched us or not, may you work in that. May we be obedient. May we be open to receive your call and be ready to accept wherever it might lead us. I know we all have a current reality. There's something in our lives that we're not happy with. There's something that is bothering us. We all have that. But there's also your future for us. May we be so honest about our own lives that we're willing to look for your emerging future. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.